This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 152. A romp in the hay should be fun.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the freaking best
girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista,
and I am Pandalicious,
and welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast.
Is it beginning to feel like summer? Not in the East Coast.
Well, down here in the lower east, it definitely looks and feels like summer.
Well, lucky you, because it doesn't feel or look like that here.
You know where else it doesn't look like summer?
Our website.
You got it. So make sure that you check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you want to talk some business at us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing weekly on Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. The show goes off at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. So make sure that you check us out, and if you hop over there early enough, you can check out some of the other amazing shows over there, and even bounce into chat and talk with other gamers and hosts. You can listen to shows like Dead Pixel Live,
or Evil Avatar,
Ultimate Quest,
Video Game Outsiders,
OLR,
and don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
There's a lot of entertainment over there, including Chatterbox Radio. So, I mean, make sure that you pop over there and check them out. And if you do, let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Because we want you to.
Yeah, we like getting credit.
Because every time you do it, angels get wings.
Every time
from Hooters.
Hooters
it's
wings,
two for,
really?
It's two for Tuesday.
I don't know.
Every time you say that it's us who send you there, angels go to Hooters, and it happens to be two for Tuesday.
I don't really know how to follow that, so I'm just going to jump into the rest of the stuff because I don't know how to follow that.
Okay.
We were asked a question at the email address about Bionic Commando, and I don't really have a whole lot to say about Bionic Commando right now because I haven't had a chance to actually play it. So it is up on deck. Once we get a little time with it, we'll come back and we'll actually announce the question and hopefully have a good answer about it. But thanks for giving us something to do because, you know, I mean, it's summertime and it's kind of hard to stay focused because there are movies you know, they're out that you want to go to.
Yep, keep rubbing it in.
I didn't say that I got to go to.
No, but you did. I'm not stupid.
I didn't. I haven't seen a movie since Up.
I thought you saw the Star Trek movie.
Star Trek was before Up.
Oh, so you didn't see Transformers?
No. No, oh. I didn't. And from what I keep reading on the web, it's probably okay that I didn't.
Are you serious? Because everyone I've talked to has been like, it's the balls.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about this before we jump into all the game stuff. Because this is geeky. It falls in there. There's a game about it. So, I mean, we can talk about this. Here's the thing about the Transformers 2 movie, okay? There are two camps. If you go into the movie going, hey, it's a Michael Bay film, that means explosions! Okay, and probably not a lot of plot, just more explosions! And Shia LaBeouf doing the whole whiny bitch thing that he does sometimes. If you go into it knowing that and going, hey, but it's Transformers, robots are going to fight. This is going to be cool. It's an okay movie.
But
if you go into it expecting to have the experience of the definitive robot battle for something movie, you're going to be disappointed, because that's not what this movie is. It's not like the robot fighting movie. It's a movie that has robots that transform, and there's some fight scenes, and they're kind of epic in that they're CGI, and then Shia LaBeouf comes on, is all a whiny little bitch, and hey, look over here, it's Megan Fox, and she's nearly naked. Woo, woo, nearly naked. Okay, cool. And scene. Now,
okay.
I haven't seen this movie physically myself, but I'm sure if you ask most people, that's a fairly accurate synopsis of this movie, because that's pretty much a fairly accurate synopsis of the last Transformers movie.
Aww.
Robots, robots, they transform, talkie-talkie, explosions.
And one of them turns into a human, which doesn't make sense, because we all know that the Transformers did not take on human form.
They were looking for Energon, you know, for the longest time in the cartoon. And, you know, every time they found some, not a damn one of them turned into a person. So if that's the case, I really don't need to see this movie. Because if I bear witness to a Transformer turning into a flesh and blood human, I will walk out and ask for my money back.
Then don't go, because I heard that they send one and she looks like a girl and she goes to kill Sam.
So we're basically turning Transformers into the Terminator.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pass on that. Thanks. I'll just.
Well, I've heard positive things about it. A bunch of my crew that, you know, have jobs and money.
Are they on money. Drugs? Are they hitting the pipe?
No.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
They work in the pole, because, I mean, that does lead to some seedy judgment.
None of my friends work on the pole.
Well,
and they
good.
Generally liked it. I mean, no, I think only two of them know the actual storyline to Transformers, and even they did not, you know, they didn't snub it. But then again, my friends are those type of friends that they can go into a brand new movie and still talk. And, you know, like, they kind of go into, like, Mystery Theater 3000.
Theater 3000, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there and they do really horrible commentary, or they do quotes that have nothing to do with the movie. They're the annoying group.
You know, you typically only do that with a movie that sucks, right? Because if the movie's good, you're paying attention to the movie.
Oh, well then I don't know why they were saying it was good, but then they're telling me about all the funny things they were saying in the interim of some things. Oh, well, I didn't go.
Just throwing that up there. But yeah, now I haven't been to see a movie since Up, and I'm really not looking forward to the Transformers 2 movie, I'll be honest. I'm pretty much happy to wait for it to hit the old HBO to watch it.
Anyway, so enough about that.
Yeah, enough about that. We've got game stuff to talk about. We've got a couple of things to talk about. One, actually, I'm going to start off with, and then I will hand the mic of 1,000 Truths over to you.
By all means.
And we'll do the passy-passy, you know, with the back and forth, because sharing is caring.
Okay. What if you're sharing herpes?
Then that's not really caring so much as just being foul. Okay. And you're a nasty son of a gun. I told you I'd try. I would try, but I can't promise.
Continue, Ninja, continue.
Okay, so on the anime tip, because I know we haven't talked about that in a while, I've actually been watching a series that I have to thank Colette Bennett from Destructoid on. She mentioned it in our Twitter, and I immediately was like, oh?
What is it?
If I can
what
find is this. It? What have you is heard it? Of an anime series called Eden of the East?
Yes, but I've never seen it.
Okay. So I heard about this from Colette, and then what was really funny is I realized that I also had an email from my man Vicious Smith, who was also talking about it, and basically kind of promoted it as, you know, I was complaining about having anime that, you know, was exclusive to naky, raunchy bits or good plot. There was never one that had the raunchy bits with a good story that just, it made sense.
Until now.
Eden of the East brings those two together. So basically in the series, and I'm only about 10 episodes in right now, but I'm hooked on it, is the story of this guy. In the first episode, you see him on a cell phone. And at the time, we don't know that his name is Takegawa. And
Takegawa.
He's on the phone. He's got on this jacket. And somebody is following him in a car. And there's a voice on the other end of the phone. And he can't really make out what they're saying. But all of a sudden, you hear him say, "Do it now." And he has this, like, spastic kind of reaction for a second. And you hear this high-pitched noise. And then cut to this chick who's walking around and taking pictures of D.C. and the Capitol. And she gets bum-rushed by two guards at the gate. And she's freaking out because she's trying to figure out how to calm down and answer their questions. And they're tugging on her stuff and she's getting really, really nervous. And then that same guy that you saw a second ago who was on the phone fully clothed is now naked across the street.
He's naked.
Yeah. And it seems like his personality is different than when you saw him on the phone. Because when he was on the phone, he was real cloak and daggerly like.
Yes.
And now he's just kind of freeloading happy like and completely naked, like I said. Now, the versions that I saw had these little white scribblies over the nakey bits. Mm-hmm. So he's just kind of standing there and talking to these guys from across the street, just full on naked. And the chick's just like, I see your Johnny, just so that you don't know. Like, I can see it. And the guards are yelling at him, and he starts to cross the street and almost gets hit by a car, and they run after him, and she takes off, and then they catch up later, and hilarity ensues. But what's really interesting is that when he meets back up with this girl, he claims to have complete amnesia.
Uh-huh.
And has this phone on him, which is a very interesting looking phone. He hasn't seen one like that before. And as they're going through the city, he realizes he's getting in trouble, that he needs help. And it just so happens that a call comes through on the phone, and the voice on the other end identifies itself as Jules and asks, is there anything that she can do to help? At first, he kind of plays it off and doesn't pay attention to it. But down the road, they get into a jam. And so he opens up the phone and asks for some weird stuff. And it just appears.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And so he's trying to figure out why he has this phone. And why whenever he makes a request, it's just like immediately fulfilled. And so as you go through this story, it's him building this really sweet relationship with this girl who's now stuck in America because she lost her passport in the whole scuffle thing that they had in the first episode or two. And trying to figure out who this guy is. And he's able to track down where he lives using the phone. And he's actually bought out this mall. And so they start delving into the story. And basically, there was this massive incident, almost like a nuclear reaction. It was called Careless Wednesday. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were killed. And nobody knows why. Missile went off and everybody blames everybody else for these missiles attacking.
I'm pointing my finger this way and you're pointing your finger back at me. But nobody really knows it's the guy down the street bending over.
Exactly. And so as you go through, you realize that these phones are devices that are given to 12 people who are stuck playing a game. So in that respect, it kind of started reminding me of a Gantz.
Yeah.
And you know how much I like Gantz.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly how much you like Gantz.
Well, you know, the story, I was kind of like, I'm with ya-ish. The sex out of no place just didn't really make sense to me.
And the bestiality.
And the bestiality was where you kind of lost me. So far, there's no bestiality in Eden of the East. And there really actually isn't any sex per se in it. But you realize that there are 12 people that are playing this game, and they're called noblesses.
Okay.
Of the noble.
Yeah, that sounds like the noblesse in Kitty Grade. I got it.
Right. Okay. And each of these phones has a number. And so in the game, basically what these people are charged to do is that they're given an obscene amount of money, and they're supposed to use it until it runs out in order to save the country. And okay. So they can make requests, whatever they need, as long as it leads to their goal. And in order to win the game, you either have to completely save the country with whatever it is that you come up with, or take out all the other noblesses in order to get their money to further along your goals.
So either do it on your own money or steal everybody else's money?
Pretty much.
There can only be one noblesse.
Well, in the end, there will only be one winner. And once you run out of money...
You're out?
If you have not saved the country, there is a supporter. And the supporter, which is any one of the noblesses at any point in time, is going to kill you.
Oh, well, that's not cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so doesn't sound like much of support to me.
This is where it starts getting deep. And so for this kid to completely be amnesiac about all this, it's basically his journey to figure out what's going on.
Why, when he asks for things, he gets them, and
exactly,
why.
Exactly, and what his role is, and as you progress through it, you find out just how much he's involved. The group is known externally as the Silacau, which is really interesting because that's actually a Portuguese word, and I thought that was kind of neat to be blending.
I love when they blend different cultures other than Japanese.
But it's stylistically, it's gorgeous, and it has a sense of humor, but the majority of it is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. And the art style is very definitive, which I also think is great. A lot of the characters remind me of characters designed like in... Oh, I'm drawing a blank now. It's that anime you and I both like, the gymnastic That's one.
Kaleidostar?
There we go. That's the word. But, so the female characters are all drawn kind of like Sora, and then it brings in kind of a element where some of the selected Silacau, the noblesses, are using their money in really no way, shape, or form to better the country. Like,
right.
There's one chick who... kind of like Jack the Ripper, and we don't exactly figure out
why,
but she uses a cigar end snipper to cut off Johnny's.
And by Johnny's, you mean those private parts that men have that women don't?
Correct.
Whoa.
And then
not even just like a breast, like a little tip?
No, like Lorena Bobbitted that sucker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's one episode where it starts, and she wakes up, and she's hot looking, got silvery purple hair in lingerie, and she makes a call to Juice and is like, boy, looks like I did it again. Can you send a cleanup crew?
Wow.
And you just see this guy completely tied to a chair with a big puddle of blood underneath the chair, and you're like, wow, yep. She cut off his...
But wait, how do you know? Does it, like, scan down him and then you notice there's no...
Well, you see him from the front and he's kind of shadowed. And there's a big puddle of blood on the chair in between his legs. But it's dark, so you don't see that there's just, like...
There's a missing member.
Right. And then you look down below the chair and it's dripping down off the chair. And you put two and two together because you see her with a cigar and the snipper. And you're like... Oh, she did not. She did. And she said, looks like she did it again, so that's not good.
Oh, boy.
And then you wind up in an episode later on where Takigawa is kind of figuring it out and that she's another Silacau and tracks her down, and he's hurt, so he's not really running at his optimum, you know...
Level?
Right. And pretty much drops naked because she's about to kill a bunch of people and is like, no, I'll work it out. somebody hurt you, but I'll make it better, and I will satisfy you, and this will go away. And she's like, there hasn't been anybody, any Johnny yet that's been able to satisfy me. And it looks like they're going to get down to business.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I was kind of like, hey, all right, this makes sense. You know, and he passes out from the blood loss. And you get a few minutes in, and the other girl that he was building this relationship comes in, and you see him naked on the bed, and there's blood on the bed, and you're like, oh no, did she snip off his Johnny?
But she, did she?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Well, it'd be kind of awkward for him to be running around, what do they call those, eunuchs?
As a eunuch? You know, there are a lot of animes where it happens, but I found myself really investing in the story.
In this lack of a wiener?
And the characters. I'm not saying if he lost his wiener or not. What I will say is that if you can get your hands on it, Eden of the East is very interesting.
And you should can get your hands on it. Johnny's got it. That's pretty funny.
Thank you. Thank you. I was working on that all afternoon. So that's my anime stuff that I have for you. A little bit different. I'm bringing the anime first.
Cool.
So now I'll hand the mic of a thousand truths over to you so you can share what you've got. And I'll come back a little bit later and talk about some of the merger mania.
Merger.
Mania.
Well, I don't have too much to talk about this week because, as everybody knows, Panda is poor. Poor Panda.
She got no job.
Yep. Though that might change. My luck seems to have turned just slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I've decided to start a small mini segment when the anime
when
and the
attack.
Gaming and the
no.
When the anime world and the gaming world seem to trickle, not too
what
much is going
trickling?
On.
I don't
they're,
understand.
Like they're trickling
the
away, like in their pools of bountifulness.
Oh,
I'm not getting a lot of the bountifulness.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when I'm getting very little from either, and I don't know where I'm going to go, I've decided that I'll do little random bouts about what happens in that in-between, in that what do I do now, that, you know, that area. I wish there was a word for
rock
it.
Band? That's pretty much what I do, and I'm
right.
I'm
you, some people
I,
have their fallback.
Yeah.
Have their fallback game. Mm-hmm. Some people have their fallback anime. But my anime and my fallback game, well, I shouldn't even say really. My fallback anime hasn't really been doing it for me. And I mean, I went straight to Kaleidostar, which is really funny that you mentioned it. And I'm like, wow, this usually fixed it until something new came around.
Did you watch the Phoenix movie? Because usually the Phoenix movie is enough to like pick me back up. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to cut her hair. Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I've watched it. But no. So I decided that I would try to go back into fall, you know, into games and see if maybe I could renew that spark of that gamer zest. And I've kind of come into a brand new addiction that doesn't cost me $15 a month, or rather doesn't cost Eshmom $15 a month for me to do.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about my little stint.
I thought you were going to say My Little Pony. I was going to be like, oh, My Little Pony.
My gamer stint in terms of achievement whoring. Now, I know I've talked about games that have really good, you know, achievement whoring in it for those who like to build up their score. They like their scores to be beefy and BA, and they want them to be all like, yeah, look at me. I'm really cool at games. I have all these achievements.
Okay, because I was a little confused about how you mean about achievement whoring. So you're talking about the people that go after
the hard
and earn.
Hardcore gamers who, when they play a game, they don't just play it and go through one
achievement
run-through.
In a game.
They play a game, and by play I mean everything. If it's a collector game, and a lot of your achievements are collector-based, that's what they do.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Because you know,
so you're talking about the achievement gluttons.
Yes.
Okay.
And
because achievement whores are a little bit different.
All right. Well, then gluttons. Then.
Okay.
And I've come into a weird place where I used to not care. I mean, my gamer score now is about 5,043 or something.
Yeah, I think we're about around the same place, you and I.
Yeah. And I really wasn't. I was never really interested in completing a game. If for some strange reason I happen to hit some achievements while doing some playthroughs, well, then so be it. Later on, somebody like, oh, you had that achievement? Yeah, that one was really cool. But I was never like, oh my god, I do not feel satisfied unless I have completed everything going on in the game.
Right.
Until now. And I feel that there are, because for the most part, when you look at these hardcore gamer gluttons and you compare them to, I mean, I would never call myself a casual gamer. I mean, I play games more often than, you know, anything else in my life right now. But compared to these hardcore people, I look like a casual gamer. And there's, you know, and you get used to that, but, you know, no one's ever called me out on it, and I appreciate that. But lately, because, like I said, there's no cash flow to get new games, so I have to resort to going back into my old games that I really had no intentions of clearing, and I've now found a new sense that I want to, in fact, clear games now.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you talking about clearing a game as far as finishing and completing the story?
Finishing the game. Like
figuring out what achievements are there.
Complete run through of the game, for starters.
Okay.
Then beating it on every difficulty presented in the game. Then on top of that, like, the one I'm working on right now is Res 5. I'm in love with Res 5. I really wish Res 6 was, like, coming out in a week. Because then I would complain to Eshmom because I really like Res 5. And there's a lot of people who don't. And you don't have to agree with me. I actually like when people don't. But, you know, at first I just played through it. I played through it in amateur. I played through it in normal. And I let it go. You know, and then when all these other games were coming out that I didn't have the funds for, I found myself going back. And I'm one chapter away from completing it on Veteran. I have all my guns. I have them all maxed out. I found all the gems. I got all the emblems. And I am just enjoying going after these, you know, achievements. I mean, I know in PS3 they're trophies.
Right.
And I am just hooked on it. Like, I just unlocked an achievement not too long ago, actually. If you can complete that, you know, Res 5 in under 5 hours, you get the unlimited rocket launcher. So every morning I woke up, most this week, woke up, jumped into online games, and was trying to reduce my time. You know, and I found myself becoming kind of edgier. You know, because I would join into this game, and I'd have, you know, a 14-year-old who thought I sounded like his mom. I don't want to go into that. You know, and
sorry.
And seeing, you know, because you can tell right away when you're dealing with someone who has completed the game at least once because they've got at least one gun that's unlimited ammo. And, you know, you can kind of tell by the way they set their bars up, and you can just tell. And I was dealing with people who were probably just playing through their first time. So, you know, when we're, you know, with me, I tend to get a lot of S rankings. I'm actually working on that as a new achievement because if you can get A's.
Yeah, higher, I died before I got out of the compound.
So I'm working on that right now, and I like the challenge. I never understood, you know, completing a game in its entirety ever in my whole gaming career. I mean, yeah, I played Sonic, you know, and completing that game and getting all the rings, and, you know, that was just something I did naturally, as you know, because I excelled in Sonic when you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got strong bouts to do this with a lot of games. I mean, I did it with Sonic, and I did it with Mario 64, as you know, with all those stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it was never a thing that I always felt like I had to do.
Right.
And now, you know, playing through Res 5, I have to get all S's in normal now. I have to beat the game in veterans so that I can get professional, so that I can then go and clear professional mode before I even go into mercenaries. I mean, it gives me a checklist. It's bringing the game into a whole different perspective for me as a casual, quote-unquote, gamer to a new, harder-edged, hardcore gamer stance.
Well, here's the thing. I don't necessarily equate running up your game score with being hardcore.
It's not even about the score. I mean, it's really the achievements for me. If the achievements didn't have points attached, I'd still be doing this.
Right. And I'm not necessarily talking about you. I'm talking about the people out there that are, you know, running up 100,000 point gamer scores because they are, you know, in essence, gold farming. They're hiring people out to run up their gamer score. Like, have you heard about that? And that's why I say
I have not heard about this.
And that's why I think that there's a real defining line between a gamer score, an achievement glutton, versus
an achievement whore.
Because the achievement whores are these people. Like, I've had a couple people that have said, hey, you know what, if you give me 1600 MS points and let me log on to your account, I'll bring your gamer score up 10,000 points. And I'm just like, what makes you think that I'd be interested in that?
Like, I'm what is the point of that, though? Just to make it look like you're
a super game aficionado?
I mean, obviously, if you don't have, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I say I don't equate a high gamer score with meaning that either you're a great gamer or that you're a hardcore. I equate it with you have way too much time on your hands to either run through every single little piece of a game, or you're one of those people that is hiring yourselves out to build people's score up and you're using your account as a demo. And I think that it's really interesting that the Xbox Live people have started to crack down on this and have been resetting people's gamer scores to zero. Because having a big gamer score doesn't really account for anything. It's not like when you hit 10,000, they give you a month alive for free or something like that.
Oh, that would be pretty... That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, because then, I mean, you know, I would probably
pay more. Then that would give, you know, hardcore, you know, gaming gluttons a more of a reason to do it.
Well, I think
it would give an initiative.
Not even the gamer gluttons or hardcore people. I think it would just give gamers that have live more of a reason to do online gaming, because the co-op and the multiplayer achievements are usually fairly easy ones to achieve and just require you jumping online with somebody and completing one task in the game. You know, so I just think that there's a lot of there's a lot of emphasis that's put on the gamer score and the amount of trophies you have, and I think it's the wrong light. Like, I think that if you enjoy a game experience, that's great. I think that achievement should come along from the exploration piece and not from, like, doing some minuscule, specifically ordered task that you would only know about if you bought the guide that came along with the game. Like, I kind of look at achievements as that should be a reward for exploring the game. So I think that as you progress linear through a game, that there should be achievements. Now, whether or not those come along with points or not, I'm not really all that tied up in. Because, again, for me, it's not about being able to flash it. Yeah, I'm a gamer. Look at my gamer score. What? For me, it's more about, here's the experience I had playing this game, and this is why I enjoyed it, and this is why you should play it and get that same kind of experience. Like, for me, I don't finish a lot of games. And right. There are some people that'll say, well, if you don't finish it, you're not really a gamer. Well, other things come up. I mean, between live, arcade, you know, I've been having a ball jumping into 1 versus 100.
I have yet to do that. Is it really fun?
It is a ball. And you should, I mean, first of all, you know, I'm a trivia geek. So for me to be able to basically play a trivia game online with people is kind of fun. And while I didn't enjoy 1 versus 100 as a game show, I do enjoy it as a multiplayer online thing. You know, I've only made it into the mob one time. But I've enjoyed playing along, and I think that that's a really interesting dynamic that live has brought about. And I think that that should be the thing, that shared experience, is something that's much more attractive to me than running up a gamer score. Like, I don't equate how much of a gamer I am and my quote-unquote hardcore or casual gamer status on my achievements.
Then what do you base it on, then?
I base it on my experience. When I walk in the door and I put my things down from the end of the day, what's the first and the second thing I think of? And if one of those two things is playing a video game, then I call myself a gamer because that's on my mind. That's my release. That's what makes me hardcore. Okay, if you walk in the door after working an 8-hour or 10-hour day and you want to have dinner and you want to check your email and then you want to kind of relax and see what's on the TV and then maybe call some people, see what they're up to, you're not a gamer. But if you walk in the door and one of your two thoughts are, hey, the light's blinking on my Wii, I gotta see what's going on there, which reminds me, I know that update was coming for live, so I need to run it, and then once that's done, check and make sure that all my stuff is there, and it's Tuesday, so it means that there's probably some new DLC in Rock Band, I ought to check that out, then I kind of go, ooh, you are a hardcore gamer. Because all it's right. on your mind. You know, I think that having the achievements is an interesting thing to keep interest in a game after you've beaten it, for you to go back and do the things like you're talking about doing now, which is going after those things that you didn't have time to go through when you were enjoying the experience the first go-round. I know way too many gamers that immediately go to the websites. I mean, there's even an iPhone app right now that you can look up what achievements are available for which games.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can literally go through and say, okay, oh, this is that achievement. This is what I got to do this achievement. This is what I got to do that achievement. See, at that point, it's now you're following a database. You're following a catalog. How are you enjoying the experience? Like, if you're coming in, at least to me, and going, okay, so before I turn this game on, let me see what achievements are available. All right, so this game offers me 1,000 gamer score points if I do all the achievements. Let's see what they are. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom.
I guess you're right. But I mean, not everyone thinks that way.
Right. And again, I'm just saying, this is just my opinion. And I'm not knocking achievements. I'm not knocking trophies. I'm not knocking people that like to go after them. I'm just saying, I don't think that that's the only quantitative way to define being a gamer. And I think that there are a lot of people right now that are doing that. And the whoring is just ridiculous. Like I said, it's like gold farming. If you are going to literally come out of pocket, cash money, to have somebody run up your gamer score, that's just way off the deep end for me. That makes no sense.
I would have to say, what kind of gamer are you? Because why wouldn't you just do it yourself?
Exactly.
For free.
I mean, again, it's all about the experience. Like, if I trip into an achievement, that's cool. I don't go looking for what the achievements are. If I do, it's typically 2 years after I've started the game and I go, oh yeah, what else could I be doing in this game? And then I'll go and check and see, well, how many achievements do I have? And so I'll log into Dashboard or whatever and see what I've got and then go, okay, well, let's see what's out there to do. And if I'm interested in trying and spending some time to do that, then cool. Otherwise, you know, it's on to the bigger, badder next thing that's coming down the pipe.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's... Yeah, I get that.
But the whoring, I think... You know, it's one thing to have a friend come over to try to help you get through a level that you can't get through. Like, I've done that for a bunch of people, especially people that were playing the God of War game, especially one, and got trapped in Hades. Because I have, like, a no-fail way to get through Hades in, like, a few minutes.
Well, that's cool.
Which is great. And it's pretty much just forget about killing anything and just run until you get to the platform where you have to do the trial where everything comes at you. You spend all of your effort killing all the shit there. And then you can go up the ladder and you're done. So just run across the spikes. Don't worry about harpies. Just keep going straight till you hit the platform. Works every time. But it's one thing to have a friend come over and help you get through a level or give you advice for getting through a level that results in an achievement or a trophy. And another one to turn over your account, which allows people
to access. See, I would never turn over my account to have somebody boost up my score.
Yeah, like that just seems asinine to me.
That's stupid.
So bravo to you, Xbox Live, for cracking down on hoes doing that.
Mm. All right. Well, that was the first little tidbit of stuff that I wanted to talk about. Kind of to go in, intertwined with that topic. I know everyone's been talking a lot about Assassin's Creed 2 and how they're worried about it being as repetitive as 1 was. You know, and I was on DPL last week, and they had brought this up, and, you know, Derek H., the host of Dead Pixel Live, noticed that I had not added any type of commentary to the article and any thoughts about it. And this is because of the sad fact that I have owned Assassin's Creed essentially since I got my 360 for Christmas, thanks to Ninja Sista. Mm-hmm. And I, pretty much had no desire to play it. I had heard such negative, commentary about it. Even though I heard the story was good, I heard the gameplay sucked. And it was repetitive, and it wasn't worth investing in. So, of course, me listening to the populace, the consensus.
Yes.
I did not. I found it. So I didn't touch it. It wasn't until 6 months later that I removed the plastic from it, but I still didn't put it into my Xbox. This has finally changed. A couple of days ago, because I didn't want to play Res 5, I was actually pretty upset because I'd been playing all morning trying to get an S in a chapter, and everybody who kept coming to my game would either kill me or themselves and then would leave my game. So I got frustrated and I walked away from it for like a day. And I was like, I need to play something else. And I didn't want to jump into GTA 4. Not because I don't like the game, but because that's probably going to be the next thing that I try to complete before even trying to rack up achievements.
Well, if you jump into GTA, let me know.
Okay. Well, I want to get all the Res 5 out of me before I go. Because GTA 4 is next.
And you're going to need to finish that because that's good. That's good times when you finish it.
So, anyway, I was like, you know what? You know, I will try Assassin's Creed. I'm like, it can't be that bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I had seen some gameplay on YouTube. I had read some things. I was like, you know what? I will honestly give this a shot now. I will not just review it in terms of story and how beautiful it is. Here it comes straight from my mouth. The controls suck.
Uh-oh.
They hurt. It hurt to try to remember to be, to be in high-profile stance or low-profile stance. It hurt that the map that they give you so that when you have to travel from, place to place, A, doesn't really look like a map, and B, half the time it tells you you're going in the wrong direction, but you gotta go a little ways through the wrong direction to get back onto the right direction. So half the time I felt like I was going in circles because I had no idea where I was supposed to go. And then, the whole, let's climb up really, really high. Because essentially climbing, you hold your R trigger, you hit a button, and then you scale with your left analog stick. Mm-hmm. Seems perfectly well and fun. But the moment that you touch a button by accident, you go pole vaulting, or you spring off like a frog. And then, you hit the ground, and obviously you don't die because it's inside of that dude's mind. So, I mean, but it throws you out of the memory, and you're kind of like, oh, I felt like a dummy. And I'm like, I've never had to think so hard about controls in a game before that for the most part, throughout the first part of this game, I was not having fun at all. It felt like work.
Yeah. That was the big complaint that I had about Assassin's Creed. Because the story is good. The controls are very clunky on the Xbox 360 version. They're a little bit better on the PS3 one, but you have to turn off the six-axis thing because it has you control some of his movements with six-axis, and it doesn't really, I find, work. So I wound up turning it off then, and then it kind of became a little bit more manageable. And that was a thing that I found that I think disappointed me the most about Assassin's Creed was the controller setup. Because if you could get it under control, and again, this is another one that I never finished, mostly because I got frustrated with trying to move throughout the story. I mean, some of the mechanics I just kind of went, As you may remember, one of my big complaints was pretty much the game is this. Run up a building. Find things. I see things. Jump off building. Land in hay. Nobody can see you when you're in hay. Kill things. Yay! It's a memory.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I liked the idea, like the whole opening sequence where it's like, you know, DNA is not just, you know, representation of your memories in this state, but memories of the past. I like that idea.
Yep.
I'd love for that to be true. And like they go and they slice my hand open and they're like, oh, by the way, you actually are like descended from like Cleopatra, which would make a lot of sense in some regard, I guess.
Sure, I mean, it would.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, that's just, you know.
That's how we roll.
But you know what I mean.
Right.
You know what I mean. And, so, I mean, I mean, the premise was really good, and yes, it is very pretty to look at. And, you know, the idea of having a hidden blade and quietly dispatching people, I'm down for that. You're a spy out in the open, and I dug it. But the mechanics hurt. It hurt so bad. And, you know, and Eshmong comes in and she's like, oh, is this new game? And I'm like, no, actually, this is an old game. And I'm like, this will probably be the only time you ever see me play it unless, you know, I become that desperate.
No, because there's always demos on live. You can always get demos.
You know, or I could just, I don't know, I could go back and finish playing that horrible Enchanted Arms.
No,
I would have more fun.
Do that.
Playing Enchanted Arms.
Don't say it. I know you're about to say it. Don't.
All right.
You can't take it back.
You know it.
you can't take it back.
All right. I'm just saying.
Once you put it out into the
interwebs. Okay, you're right. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So needless to say, like, I seriously hope that with Assassin's Creed 2, because I will probably, you know, in the future where I have a job and everything's peachy, will go out and probably buy it. Because, I mean, from what I read about the story, I really liked the story. And I would like to know what happens next.
There are a lot of people that are hopeful for Assassin's Creed 2. And I really wish that we had been actually granted access to play it, as opposed to banished to the outside of the Ubisoft booth to just watch the video on the screen. Because I'm hopeful that a lot of these mechanics were addressed. I know that a lot of people made a lot of the same comments that we're making here to Ubisoft between that game and this one. And I know that the Montreal team has been working really hard on this one. So I'd be really surprised if the mechanics were identical this time to last time. Now, how much better they're going to be, I don't know. I just... wish and hope and pray that they're really good, because the character design and the level design and the gameplay videos that I have seen look really wonderful. And if the game plays as seamlessly as those videos lead the viewer to believe, I think that they've got a solid game on their hands this go round. And I think that if they do it right, Assassin's 2 will be all the things that Assassin's 1 should have been.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing if this works out or not, because, I mean, like I said, I will probably play Assassin's Creed through just because, but I can't say that it will give me the, you know, happy, tingly feelings that most gameplay gives me.
Yeah,
it probably won't. I feel like it won't, and it depresses me just to think about it. But I mean, that's really what I wanted to put up on the plate.
Well, you can always go back and do Viva Pinata. I mean, there's always pinata.
I could always mate pinatas.
I mean, you always have the mating.
Yeah, you know what? That is a very good idea.
I have them every once in a while.
I know.
And
so,
there's no way that mating pinatas is going to give you any nightmares.
No.
Whereas if you were to go back and try to finish Bioshock, you would probably not sleep for a while.
So Ninja, I heard that you had some merger news.
Well, speaking of mating, I mean, this works out really well.
Mating and merger, they both start with M.
And they both wind up with the same thing. Two things become one and make something new.
Which then makes three?
Well, on the mating thing, it makes thing three. On the merger thing, it usually just makes one.
One big super thing.
One
synergy.
Big
synergy.
Synergy.
That is such an awesome word. I love synergy.
Also a good word, Schenectady.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I think it's a town. Anyway, let's talk mergers.
Let's talk mergers.
There has been a lot of closing of shops in the industry, merging of shops, renaming of companies, and people just leaving, just up and leaving companies of late, which has been kind of surprising. But I got a couple of things in this week that I saw through PR releases, and I was like, hey, I got to talk about this.
Well, then talk about it, sister, talk about it.
First one up on the block. And this is one I didn't actually see coming. Because, you know, sometimes you can see things happening. Like, yes. I don't think any of us were surprised
with
by...
With my eyes, I see things. I see them with my eyes. I see things. They're often in disguise.
Not quite.
Oh, well. All right. Well, but I see things.
But
I see things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all, I think, pretty much saw the Square Enix thing happening. Like, that was kind of blatant. This one was not. Koei and Tecmo.
Have merged. Tecoi?
No. Tecmo Koei Europe Limited.
Europe? They had to go to Europe to mate? Wow.
Well, I mean, think about it. The atmosphere, the bandwidth.
Well, were they in Germany?
The absinthe.
Oh, that would do it.
Absinthe makes the merging goes faster? I don't know.
I don't know what it makes the mergers go. But...
I don't either, but it's interesting.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the first title that they're going to release under the TKE banner, which is kind of how they're going right now, calling themselves TKE for short, Tecmo Koei Europe, I get it, is going to be Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2. And so
which is a sequel to Sigma
1. So, here's the lineage. Okay, you had Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox 360. Actually, you had it on the Xbox. Everyone's like, oh my god, Team Ninja, you're so awesome! Which they are. And then they were like, hey, it's only going down on Xbox. And we're like, oh yeah, suck it everybody else. And then a funny thing happened.
What happened?
Ninja Gaiden 2 came out. And we're all like, yeah, what? It's awesome. And then everybody was like, hey, what's this Sigma thing over here? Because Black came out and it was the port of Ninja Gaiden from the Xbox 360. But then 2 came out and everybody was like, excuse me, what's this Sigma thing? Well, you know how we said it's only going to be on Xbox? Well, what we meant to say is that Ninja Gaiden without a Sigma in it is going to be on the Xbox. But what we're going to do is take the ones that we do on the Xbox, we're going to bring them over to the PlayStation 3, and we're going to add some shit over there. So if you want to get, like, the whole thing, you're going to have to get both. Suck it, consumers! And I went, nah, I don't think so. But I fell into the hole because I bought Sigma on the PS3 because they added a bunch of weapons and a couple of levels and they upped the difficulty. And I admit that I'm, you know, a difficulty junkie.
Yes. I can agree to that.
I like playing things on a difficulty that's really hard. And then beating that. That's where my sense of accomplishment comes from.
That's what he said.
I know. I was trying to figure out a way to say that and avoid the that's what he said, she said thing. But there just was no way. There was just no way.
Nope. That's okay, though, because I decided to be more an adult and just say it quietly and not be like, oh, that's what she said.
And I appreciate that about you. So Sigma was released, and it did pretty well over on the PlayStation 3. And now Sigma 2 is due on the PS3 again, and Sigma 2 brings with it the ability to play the game as either Ayane or this other character, and I forget her name right now, but it was the character that they introduced on the DS version of the game. And for some reason my brain's flashing an M at me like really, really hard, but it's not coming, so I'm just gonna let that train go.
All right, let it pass.
But TKE is not the only company that's merging.
Oh?
So, ZeniMax Media, which is the parent company of Bethesda Softworks.
Bethesda.
Yeah. Was that, so, ZeniMax.
Were those the people who didn't think we were cool enough to go to their party?
Look, we're going to let the Bethesda party go, okay?
All right.
We're going to.
But they had a mechanical bull.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to chalk it up to just a mistake. Okay. Late response, not on the list, it's all worked out. Next time, you can ride the bull, okay?
Okay.
All right, you'll ride the bull, I promise.
All right.
All right?
Yep.
You feel better there, champ?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do.
So, ZeniMax Media, who is the parent company of Bethesda Softworks, has now acquired id Software, whom you might know from such works as Doom, Quake, Wolfenstein, and games like Rage. So imagine that the people that make things like Wet and Oblivion are now gonna get together with the folks that made Doom and Quake.
And Rage.
And put together the things of kickassery like you would not believe. Now, it is still going to be a separate studio. John Carmack is still going to be directing them around. But the fact of the matter is, you now have Koei, who's doing Dynasty Warriors Gundam, as well as just Dynasty Warriors Your Mama Was Looking My Direction, is now teaming up with Tecmo, who brings all good things ninja to the world. So Lord knows what's going to happen there. And now you got Bethesda and id under one roof. I mean, we're talking big powerhouses here.
Do you think it's a sign of the economic struggle in the gaming industry?
Well, I mean, the a spokesman for ZeniMax Media and id said that it's a great opportunity for id because they're going to be able to focus on creation and allow the financial powerhouse that is Bethesda Softworks to come to their aid as far as promotion and marketing and taking care of all of that stuff. So definitely the financial powerhouse piece of it factored in for id. But I didn't know that they needed all of that much help. Anyway, I mean, I think we're all pretty much familiar with Wolfenstein, Quake, and Doom.
Doom.
I find it very interesting that there's a lot of mergering going on right now. And so I think that there are a lot more companies that are on the edge of bankruptcy that are not really letting that be known. And that's what's driving a lot of these mergers. To keep hope alive. So I don't know. I found it interesting. So I'll be.
Are they the only ones? Are those the only ones that you know of?
Those are the big ones. I mean, that are new. Everybody knows about pretty much the other ones that went down before E3 of companies coming together. You know, Take-Two's fighting its acquisition and winning. And staying separate.
And winning.
You know, I think that a lot of people are aware. But I will keep on the grind. So if there are more mergers, acquisitions, or just shutterings, you know, like 3D Realms, and now their Spitfire fight of people saying, this one's hiding money and that one's hiding money. Look, everybody go down to the Caymans, have a shag, get it all out of your system. You know, the one last breakup shag, and just let it go. Move on. Okay.
Go roll around in some nice soft sand.
The Nukem not happening, right? You tried it. It didn't work out, you know. And just have the makeup sex and part ways as friends.
Can you really have breakup sex and still be friends?
No, not really.
No. All right, then.
But that's the advice I'm going to give them.
I never understood the concept.
It doesn't really work. Like, you can't just, you know, do that, and then everybody's okay. It does not work. Somebody catches a feeling and or a communicable disease, and then it just goes downhill from there. It's just a mess, and best to stay out of it.
Or they're in a car, it's the Grammys, there's a miscommunication, there's a fisticuff, someone bites somebody.
Look.
It's a mess.
It is a big mess. So before we go, obviously, a tragic week for...
I know! Three deaths! Threes! Now, I know death comes in threes, but dang!
They were quick threes. And
that was
we
a very
would be
quick three.
Remiss without mentioning anything in the podcast. If you've checked out the website already, you know that we've got a couple of things up there.
Not even here. If you have a Twitter, if you have a Facebook...
Well, Twitter blew up, and so did Facebook.
So the moment these things happened, they were all over the place. The only way you wouldn't have been able to know what's going on is if you were deaf.
Time out.
Blind.
Time out. Time out. Let's be clear. Okay, Twitter and Facebook did not blow up about Ed McMahon passing, and they didn't blow up about Farrah Fawcett passing.
No, I actually got a couple of Twitters about Farrah Fawcett when she went. But the big one was, yes,
Michael Jackson. So I've already said a lot of things in my post, and if you want to check it out, please visit the website to do so. But what I will say here is that Michael will be missed. Farrah will be missed. Ed will be missed.
I know. I have a very strange feeling that Patrick Swayze is next, because he's already, you know, not doing too well on the health tip.
With that
cancer.
Well, here's the thing. Patrick Swayze goes... That's it. 80s, childhood stuff, all gone.
Oy.
Dirty Dancing, Star Search, Charlie's Angels, and pretty much my childhood. Bam. Just wiped out.
I know. What are we going to do?
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Well, we're going to have to end the show.
Oh.
So... Like I said, make sure to drop by the website. We've added a couple of new things to the website, including tweet board. We're trying that out, seeing how that works. Posting some twits, and it's kind of like a forum in that you can reply to the twits on the page and
replying to twits.
So we'll see how that works out. So definitely check that out. Can't miss it. There's a little tab on the left side of the website, which is at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.MOBI. That's ESH.MOBI. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you have some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
You can catch episodes of our podcast airing weekly on Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. The shows air at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you want to stop in a little bit earlier, you can catch some other shows like Dead Pixel Live.
Or Evil Avatar.
Or Chatterbox.
Or Video Game Outsiders.
Or OLR.
Or Bobby Blackwolf Show or Friday Night Gaming.
And if you do and you pop around the chat, make sure that you let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Because we did. And again.
If we did.
We like credit. Even if we didn't, just be like, yo, those ESH chicks, they're awesome. They were telling me about your show and I thought I'd come and listen.
And now I love your show almost as much as I love their show.
Almost.
Pretty close.
Remember who brung you to the dance, people. Just saying. So with that, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it seems pretty toasty to me.
So what are you going to do with your toast?
I am going to scale a giant mausoleum with my toast and have it scan around and map out how to get to McDonald's because I'm hungry.
Okay.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to moonwalk with it.
Really?
Which is going to be dangerous because I have wall-to-wall carpet.
I'm going to put my toast on Star Search.
Are you going to give it 3.25 stars?
I don't know. It depends on how talented it is.
Well, we'll just have to see. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
Bye!